this is now the part of the program that probably is the most interesting, namely when each of you gets to ask questions either of individual panelists or pose a question to the whole panel. Now, I'm going to let you run this rather than me pick unless it gets to you.
Sure. Okay.
So,
my question is for you.
Sure.
Please speak up when you ask so we can all
sure.
hear.
You said you own your entire company. What do you do, like, in the present day when it comes to owning a company?
Okay.
I'm interested.
Well, I do a bunch of things. My primary role right now is relationship development and maintenance of relationships. When I say relationships, that's with clients, right? And that's with other business partners. Okay, so I have to maintain those relationships. That you can say that's marketing. Okay? I also do sales. So I do today I did two demonstrations, okay, of a solution called Microsoft CRM. I do a management of my executive staff. I worry a lot about making payroll every month. In our heyday, our payroll was about $800,000 a month. Okay, so think about that. Okay, think about that. That every month we had to come up with $800,000 to pay people. Like Nick and Gary. You understand? So those are the types of things. I also do what's called solutions portfolio development. And basically what that means in English is I determine what products we're going to offer to the marketplace. So if I'm going to go into a Vanguard or a Bloomberg or a Merck and I'm going to try to sell them something, okay, then I have to have a portfolio of solutions that I walk in and sell them. I can't just go in and say, hey, you know, what do you need? I'll sell you anything. They're going to say, well, what do you got? Okay, so they expect me to be carrying around a solution bag, okay, and have solutions in it. Okay, so I'm doing things at a higher level, obviously, but that's taken, you know, 20 plus years to do that.
I have one more real quick question. They all mentioned about their companies hiring and such. Is your company hiring or always looking for
people? Yes, we're always looking for people.
Awesome.
Absolutely. That's why I handed out my business card, and anybody can feel free to communicate with me. And if I'm not, I have a lot of contacts and a lot of business partners around the tri-state area, and they're all looking for people too.
On that note, you know, Bloomberg is so hungry for good CS students right now. You know, we need you guys, you know, who have the initiative to come out to events like this and are really interested in where the industry is going and are, you know, very involved in your classes. I run the recruiting team for Rutgers, and I'm here all the time doing interviews. So the more people we can get to Bloomberg, the better it is for us, you know, bright people, I should say. And the more people I can get from Rutgers, the happier I am, because that's where I came from. And I've been down the same path that you guys are. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. This is a great start coming to things like this, and it really shows a lot of initiative, and it's what companies are looking for.
Well, they do everything from marketing. Okay, what is marketing? Marketing means generating opportunities. Okay, that's what marketing is. So you have to generate opportunities. I don't care if you're Bloomberg or Vanguard or Merck, they have to generate opportunities too. You heard Gary say that he goes out to his clients. So marketing is finding opportunities. I have people that do sales. Okay, so they actually demonstrate solutions. Okay? And most of the demonstrations right now are done over the internet. Okay, so we demonstrate solutions to prospects and clients all over the country, if not internationally, and you don't just get on the plane to do that. It's too expensive. So you can do that over the internet. And there's different conferencing facilities to do that. I have people that do project management. Okay, so we'll get a project and then they'll manage the project, meaning they keep track of the tasks that have to go into the project and the timelines and the budgets and the resources and the people and all the things. I have programmers that actually do development work. Okay? I have trainers that actually go out and do training. They train people. Okay? I have installers, people that actually install software and systems, what they call network administrators, that take care of networks and what's called infrastructure, which is the hardware and the plumbing, okay, that these applications run on. So I have all these types of people, okay, that work, because you need them all to run a business besides my administrative people who, you know, do the billing and get the checks and apply the checks to the outstanding receivables and handle the legal issues. And so you need all these things to run a company. All
this. What kinds of projects do your programmers work
on? Well, we do some custom. As an example, we just sold a deal to a company up in Massachusetts who is a manufacturer slash importer of home decor products. Okay? Primarily fancy picture frames and things like that. Okay? And so they design the product. They then go and they get the product manufactured in Asia, okay, which is pretty much the norm in the United States these days. Okay? They import the product, and then they sell the product. Well, they needed a system or a solution to track the design of the product, the quotes that they get from the manufacturers in Hong Kong, okay? And then they wanted to price the products based on the cost of the product, okay, that they got from the manufacturer. So that's a project that we're doing. We're using a base solution from Microsoft, and we're building on top of it. So the programmers will take this solution. It's called Microsoft Customer Relationship Management. And they'll take that, and then they'll start customizing it to satisfy these kind of requirements. And it's done in .NET and C# technology.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. As I said, I'm in a transitionary state right now. I was doing a lot of app development. Now my boss kind of wants to move me over to more of the financial side of things and coming up with some of the models and risk factors that drive market events. I'm actually looking at a master's degree right now at NYU. Thank you. Financial mathematics there. Yeah. The nice thing is half of the staff of the financial mathematics department at NYU is also on our quant staff, so there's a kind of a nice in there. My boss is like, if you don't get in, don't worry, you'll get in. So that's kind of cool in that regard. But still, it's a really exciting kind of direction for Bloomberg to head in and the market in general. Things are a little bit turbulent out there right now, and things shift around so quickly now. World events can impact things so much that our customers are really concerned with what can happen to their portfolios and their worth. Institutional customers, value portfolios of, tens of thousands of positions, and they want to know what would happen if the yen devalued this much, or, basis points on treasury bills bumped up this much. So there's a lot of mathematical analysis that goes into that. I was kind of on the business track of computer science. I wasn't one of the hardcore guys that was really into, tweaking operating systems down at a low level. So I'm kind of playing catch-up now on a lot of the heavy-duty mathematical analysis. But it's been a really fun challenge for me to kind of transition between, day-to-day programming and some of the more heavy-duty stuff that Bloomberg does. It's really coming up with ways to model the behavior of markets and creating instruments that achieve financial goals. So, you have your vanilla stocks and bonds that a lot of people are, familiar with, and you have derivative products that derive their value from those vanilla instruments. So there's all sorts of, crazy things that, brilliant mathematicians come up with to achieve financial goals for companies and hedge their risk and really limit their exposure and achieve certain return rates that they need. So it's coming up with the models and the framework to build those derivative instruments.
There was one back there, I think.
I'm pretty sure I remember
asking Professor Ryer this question at one point or another, but, and this is for all of you, but...
Better say the same thing.
No, not really.
Okay, that's fine.
It's about outsourcing. Are career jobs really being outsourced by foreign labor competition? Is that true? And how much does it affect us?
It happens, but there are so many positions that I wouldn't consider it a huge concern coming out of a program like this. I mean, part of the reason so much outsourcing is going on is because there isn't enough people coming out of programs like this here. So I don't feel any threat at all to my job from outsourcing. You know, being here and being able to deal directly with the business clients to build systems is a huge advantage that you can't get when you outsource.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So I would say it's definitely there, and you should think about it. But I wouldn't say, hey, don't go into IT because of it.
I agree. I would tell you that your biggest advantage at for any CS major, it would be honing your analytical skills. If you're looking to do hardcore programming, like really hardcore, you want to do a lot of what
Andy.
What Andy mentioned. Sorry, I don't know I'm not remembering names today. Sorry about that. I would say definitely you need to think about companies that are looking for that, and they're hungry. They're really hungry for looking for that. We use outsourcing contracts, and where we use outsourcing contracts is primarily when a spec is completely 100% complete, and we know all of the requirements from the business. It requires people with CS backgrounds who can relate back to the business and find out what they're really looking for to create things like that. You're not looking for it's not something that just someone off the street can just come in and say, oh, I can be a business analyst and go in and figure out requirements. Because what you're doing is you're listening to somebody and you're saying, okay, what are you looking for? And then translating that into technical specifications. And the only way to translate that is to have a very strong CS background or technical background where you can take your basic concepts that you're learning in school right now and apply it and translate what they're saying into those concepts, okay? That's what a lot of companies at this point are looking for, because that's what they'll take and outsource, okay? Cutting-edge companies are looking for CS majors who want to do hardcore programming, and they're not going to go outside and potentially go, to the outsourcing companies to get that, because they're looking for really bright, intelligent people here who are on cutting, innovative edges. So you need to decide what you're really looking to do. But there, I would say that there is a humongous surge and need at this point for people to come into the IT organization from the CS majors.
Have you gonna say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it also kind of depends on the company. Like, for example, I'm responsible for my product from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. I go out and meet with users. I hang out on trading floors. I go out to dinner with the traders and figure out what they're looking for to do. And then I come back and build it and take it back to them and say, what do you think? Go back and forth. Then I support it as it rolls out to our entire user base. I maintain it. It's almost like watching my child go off on the school bus when it rolls out. It's kind of brings a tear to your eye. But that's a hard thing to outsource. And Bloomberg has always been about their programmers owning the product from beginning to end. It breeds a lot of pride in what you're doing. So it's not like I'm just one little piece in the pipeline. And it's not something that you can just yank out and send overseas somewhere. Depending on the corporate culture, a lot of places have jobs, as you mentioned, that are very hard to outsource, and those are really the roles you want to look for, I think.
And what kind of jobs are those?
His job. Yeah, well, jobs that kind of encompass more than just not a single skill, but something that's very easy to just pull out of the process and ship somewhere else. You want to get yourself involved in as many pieces of the business as possible,
right,
and really make yourself indispensable, and that'll do wonders for your job security, I think.
So
So since you use my name, can I answer also?
Yeah.
Because I know I have some personal experience through my husband, who works in the phone industry, telecom industry, providing software to telecom. They tried to outsource some pieces of a big project they were rewriting, and they were, enhancing, and they had the actual coding, and then they had the testing, right? And over several years, they outsourced actually to Eastern Europe to get this stuff done. But they found it was so difficult because they never had a full spec, exactly what Rashi said. The spec was, the people here had the experience from the 20 years of dealing with AT&T and the phone companies to be able to deal with a spec that wasn't quite total and to know what they were supposed to test. But if they send it to a bunch of strangers who are not familiar with the customer area, with the application and the way the business in that area worked, there were edges that got dropped off. And finally, the lack of communication got to be such a problem that they brought it back. They brought this testing functionality and the little bit of coding they sent out back. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen every time or in every place, but it's not as easy, even though the world is flat, it's not as easy transferring the culture, the knowledge about these different, very specialized areas in which computing is being used. That's not so easy to do. And having a full spec for, a full set of requirements for a piece of software that's complete enough that someone can actually build from that without knowing anything about the domain is also not so easy to do, as these folks are telling you. So there is hope, I think. Although there will be things that will go outside of the country to cost, there still is room for specialist knowledge for being able to apply it.
If you're interested in just doing straight out coding, if that's what you're interested, there are a ton of places that need that. If you're interested in being part of a business group or doing analytical type of work, a lot of companies that need that. If you're looking to do support work and that's what you want to do and that's where you there's a ton of companies that need that. So to our point, there are a boatload of different avenues you can take from a CS major job.
How important is a graduate degree right now in CS? Or would it be more important to, graduate with a bachelor's in CS and then maybe try and get a graduate degree in something similar, related, but different?
I think it depends on what you're looking to do. For me, it was really nice getting my CS major, starting with the company, and then getting my MBA through that company, because I was able to apply what I was learning in my MBA towards what I was learning in the company and get on some more of the business roles and the business side. That was my focus, and that's where I'm ending up, more client relationship management, more business focus. Is a graduate degree invaluable? Yes. I would think that if you're looking to do work within a corporation, or I think a CS degree, you could take two different. I think you could take two different avenues. You could start right away, and then go back to school, or if you're looking to do strict programming and really become. I have friends who are at Google, and they went back and they did their PhDs in computer science, and they're at Palo Alto, and they're over in California doing cutting, bleeding edge, technology development at Google with very, very high-level analytical work. That's a different path. And the third path is if you're looking to become a professor or you're looking to do actual teaching, then, again, go back, go do, I think, your PhD, and that's where you would end up. It really depends on what avenue you want to take there. I don't know if anybody else has an opinion.
Just add that a lot of companies like Vanguard will pay for a lot of your degree.
That's the other nice thing.
That's
maybe it's nice to get your feet wet first and then try and see what's going on. And
you don't have to just get your MBA. You can get your MIS, you can get, MOT. There's a lot of different variations, all depending on what you really want to do.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a quick question for all four, I guess. You already mentioned some specific things, but I just want to, if you can overview maybe What actually you can remember useful from Rutgers that you apply to your job? I mean, I know that like problem solving and general things like studying, learning, obviously you can apply all that. But I was talking about maybe some specifics in mathematics and computer science that you can say, ooh, I use like that, like a database management or some other things that.
Why don't you start?
You know, I'm going to answer it this way. I can get a call with an opportunity for a new project today from John Smith, and I won't know where it came from, but John spoke to Mary, and Mary spoke to Alice, and Alice spoke to Tim, and so it eventually made its way to me. Same thing here. You're learning things now where you may not be able to say exactly, well, I'm using calculus 2, okay? But believe it, the logic that you're learning, you know, the and/or stuff, it's going to come into play. It's not going to be exactly. It really isn't. But you want to do programming, you're learning how to program. You may not program in the language you're programming here.
No, you won't.
Okay, you probably won't be. That's right. But you're learning how to program. Okay? And so you're learning how to learn how to program. And so you understand? So you're not going to get out and you're going to say, oh, I was taught that. And chances are not. Yeah. Chances are you're not going to be able to point directly back, but indirectly, and that's what I meant by the analogy I just gave you, indirectly, it came from the foundation. This is all about the foundation. That's what it really is.
I would totally agree with Andy. The thing that, so I'll give you two answers, and then we'll work our way down. I'm sure these guys have a better idea. I would say that while you're in your classes, focus on the concepts and focus on really the theoretical of what you're trying to learn and the analytical pieces of it. The clinical pieces, or whatever you want to call it, from a language perspective, should you learn, you know, C-sharp right now? Should you learn Ajax? Should you be learning Java? Believe it or not, that's going to be outdated in about a year. You're going to learn something brand new when you go to a company. What the companies are looking for you to learn is the concepts behind and know how to program and how to create object, you know, OOD coding if that's where you're going or other, and really learn those concepts. So that's what you got to focus on. For me, database, understanding databases was humongous. Having that background. That class, when I was offered, was an elective. I don't know if it's still an elective, but I will tell you that if you're looking to do programming, having a back end, knowing what databases can do and how it could potentially do SQL and stuff, was invaluable. And software engineering, which I think I just heard is now required.
We wish.
Well, systems lifecycle development, I think, is extremely valuable as well, personally. I think that was one thing that I actually did not take that I found I had to learn when I was in school, and people who came out of Rutgers who had systems, lifecycle development or systems software engineering, I'm also on the recruiting team at Merck, seemed to have a very strong edge in being able to understand culture. I'll leave it at that and let you guys talk towards more class.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I use the hash table here because I learned it in data structures. But I think what's much more important than, you know, focusing on, like, for example, the tools you're using to learn programming right now. I think it's still Java here, primarily. You know, who knows what will be the hot language when you guys get out. So, you know, just learn how to think through problems and really take that away from your classes, how to break things down into manageable pieces and get things done. That's really what we look for. Because when you come into Bloomberg, you come into a 10-week training program where we teach you all of our technology and languages anyway to get you up to speed on what we do. So we look for people who are thinkers and who can get things done. I started interviewing candidates about a year back. I'd only been with the company for a year and a half. I was kind of, you know, naive and had a rosy outlook on life. And everyone I interviewed, I was like, oh, he's pretty good. Yeah, I'd hire him. And my boss was like, you can't keep saying that. We can't hire everyone. And you know, he said, the way I think about it is, if you were here at 10 p.m. the night before a deadline, would you want to be here with that person working on the project? And that's a great thing to really separate the people you think are from the people who are like, yes, let's get this guy. He's really what we need. Also, you know, outside of your computer science education, Rutgers is a fantastic place to really kind of get a world view, and it much more so than other colleges, as I've found, it really prepares you for the real world and getting out there and, you know, doing things for yourself and getting involved and taking things away from that. So, you know, get involved as much as you can in, you know, activities that, you know, build your leadership potential and your ability to do public speaking. Just the other week, I was in front of 400 salespeople doing a demo of my software. And I was fine with it because I ran new student orientation when I was here, and I spoke to 700 people at a time. So it was nothing for me to just jump up there and show off what I've done. So, you know, outside of just algorithms and database systems and that sort of thing, build yourself up as a person. I think that's really the best thing you can take out of college in general.
I agree.
if you want
something more concrete, I mean, about the closest thing I can think of, you know, besides all the, yeah, you know, it's great to know, you know, when to use a hash table and when
it
to
is.
Use a, you know, an array list and all that stuff, you know, that is very useful. But I've actually found, opposite to what I believed when I was here at Rutgers, that stuff is actually slightly less important than some of the other things I learned, like some of the stuff I used to ignore, or like when they would say, hey, you really should name your methods something logical, but what it actually is, and, you know, you should really have classes that really only have one responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whatever, it works, you know. Well, after being in production support, well, it worked when you made it, you know, 3 years ago, but now that you added features A, B, C, D, and E, it doesn't work anymore, you know, and the people who are very good at applying the principles and ideas and understand not just how to write program, but how to write a good, robust program to other developers are gonna shine. You know, there are people who don't really understand that stuff who can talk their way up to management pretty well, but in terms of to each other and who we want to have working with us at 10 at night, that sort of stuff is important. So when they give you hints like that, pay attention.
Well, let me interject something, if I may. I didn't have a chance to respond to this question. I think I have a little bit different perspective than my colleagues here about outsourcing. I see a tremendous amount of outsourcing in the industry. I'm called constantly, and I'm constantly getting emails and solicited by huge companies out of India and China. Okay, I have a good business partner, a good friend of mine, who just opened up a programming shop in China. And he told me that he went to a career day there just last Saturday, and 100,000 kids showed up.
Oh my God.
Most of them with master's degrees. And he's paying them, he has a bunch of people employed, and he's paying them $300 a month. $300 a month. Okay? That's nothing, right? I mean, you can't live in the United States for $300 a month. You could barely live on $3,000 a month. So I'd say a good starting point is programming. I started as a programmer. I think we all started as programmers. But you're going to top out. There's a ceiling, okay, being a programmer. There really is. You're only going to be able to make so much money as a programmer. And there's lots of people coming into the United States, okay, from Asia and from other places in the world, okay? And these people, some of these people, very, very bright, master's degrees, PhDs, are willing to work for a lot less than your average American. I see that all the time. They have great work ethics. They come into work every single day. It doesn't matter, rain or shine. Okay, your average American, if it's cloudy out, may not show up to work. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. In fact, if anybody was watching 60 Minutes this past Sunday, they talked about the millennials. And the millennials are kids your age who've grown up in the technology world, whose parents gave them everything, including trophies for coming in third place, okay, on the soccer teams and things like that. Okay, and there are now coaches and mentors and training programs to teach kids how to work. Okay, and I'm telling you, believe me, they're coming in droves into the United States, in droves. Okay, and they're willing to work for a lot less pay. So yes, a good starting point is programming, but you got to differentiate yourself. Okay, and a good differentiation is some of the things you hear now. Okay, you heard Rashi say, I don't program anymore. I'm now doing client relations. I'm gathering requirements. You heard Gary say the same thing. I'm out with the client getting requirements. The liaison between the client and the developer. Okay, that's something that's very hard to outsource, especially somebody who doesn't speak English that well. Because a lot of the people coming into the U.S., though they're geniuses when it comes to math and coding, they don't speak English very well. And you gotta know that's here. You know, I came in and I parked in the parking lot here, and I looked at all the kids walking through, and I saw a lot of foreigners, tons and tons. Okay, you mean maybe you were born in the U.S., but you understand when I went to school, they all looked like me. Okay, you know, okay. It's here, okay, and it's more and more and more, okay. And yes, there's plenty of opportunity. I do agree with my panelists here. There's tremendous amount of opportunity, but you got to grow. You got to start as the programmer, but you got to get out of that, okay. You got to get. There's other things that you can do to differentiate yourself, to be creative, okay, in the computer science or the IT world. From a master's degree perspective, I went back for my master's degree. I got an MBA from Pace University, but I took the business track. I didn't get a master's in computer science. Okay? I got a master's in information systems, okay? Because I wanted the entrepreneurial approach, okay? My own business, things like that. So it all depends. If you're gonna go work for a big corporation, having a graduate degree, you're probably gonna get paid more money, okay, in the long run. If you're gonna go start your own business, I don't care if you have a graduate degree. I don't even care if you have a college degree. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are kids coming out of the tech schools. You know, there are kids that have history degrees. Okay, and they don't even have computer science, but they're very bright, very very bright. You can teach them a language. You can teach them these things. Okay, so.
Good. Kept this going for about an hour. I know that you thank the panelists, and I know that the panelists are willing to hang around a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's coffee, there's cookies,
goodies.
Fruit. Thank you very much.